let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to call this message this morning, Doing the First Works. Doing the First Works. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go over there to Revelation chapter 2. And why don't we just kind of clear the air and reset things here after all the talk and business there with all these announcements. Let's just go ahead and pray as we get into the Word. Father, we love you and we praise you. We magnify you. Father, we know that the ground is hot in the city of Erie. We know that the ground is hot, Father, that there is so many wonderful things to do in this region for the gospel. And Father, we are honored to play a part in that. And Father, we submit to your plan. We submit to your will. Father, we thank you for all these wonderful people that serve and are faithful, Father, to help these things come to pass. We just give you all the praise and glory. And Father, we just thank you. Your will is done here in 2016 in this church, in our homes. Father, that we would take a sober look at our lives as individuals, take a look at a sober look at where we are at as a church family, and Father, and make adjustments if we need to, so we can go higher, so that we can help produce more for the kingdom of God. That Father, that you would be glorified in all things, that the name of Jesus would be glorified in our city and in our region. Father, we just give you all the praise and glory. We're going to receive your word with joy. Father, we're going to be corrected if need be. We're going to be instructed if need be. We're going to be encouraged if need be. And we all will be strengthened, Father. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. Father, we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you found Revelation chapter 2? Again, we're calling this Doing the First Works. You know, we are in a new year. And like I said in the prayer, that it's time for us to take a sober look at our lives individually for Christ. It's time for us to take a sober look at where we are at as a church family. Do you know that as a church family, all of our lives are connected? Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? We're not just individually floating, you know, in life as just random individuals. We have a call. We have a connection right here in our local church. Or maybe you're visiting from another church and you have a home church somewhere else. The same thing is true wherever you're called to be in church. You aren't just out to fulfill an individual plan in your life. You are contributing to a master plan for a whole church family. Praise the Lord, you know. And I've been taking, you know, some time to prayerfully consider, you know, where we are at as a church, where I'm at as a pastor, where I'm at as a father, where I'm at as a husband. Amen. You know, the Bible says that if you would judge yourself, you would not be judged. You know, we need to take a sober look at ourselves. The Bible says over there in Romans chapter 12, it says that every man thinks soberly of himself and shouldn't think more highly of himself than he ought. Praise the Lord. So today, you know, we're going to look soberly at where we are at as a church. And I know that this isn't going to be the frilly, you know, New Year's sermon, you know. No, I'm not going to prophesy and put a title on this year this morning. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that. We're going to take instead a serious look at where we are at as a church. Praise the Lord. In Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ instructed John the Apostle to write seven letters to seven different churches, all right, that were in Asia Minor at the time. Now, of course, the Bible is an accurate history book. And so, yes, this really did happen back there 2,000 years ago. Jesus appeared to John the Apostle while John was in prison, remember this? And he instructed John to write a letter, one letter, to each of these seven churches. And in each one of these letters, the Lord kind of admonishes these churches and tells them where they are at as a church, what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong, where they have gotten it, you know, and where they've missed it, you know. And as you study Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you know, you start to realize that these letters to the churches, they're not just trade center. It was an education center. And the church at Ephesus became very successful. Now, history tells us that the church at Ephesus had thousands of people in it. Some scholars have even said it had tens of thousands of people. It was a very prominent church. It was a group of believers, just like we are, except it had many, many, many more attenders that were part of this church. And their church became the most influential of any church in their region, in Asia. It was the biggest church. It was very influential. Remember Timothy, the gentleman that Paul refers to, and we have two books in the New Testament named after him. Timothy pastored there for a while. Of course, Paul started the church. He taught there for 2 years in the school of Tyrannus. Okay, remember, Acts chapter 19 tells us that Apollos had ministered there. Okay, and we also know this, that in history, church history tells us that John the Apostle went to Ephesus, and he spent his time in that church before he was arrested and thrown into jail before he wrote this letter on behalf of Jesus. All right? And so that church had the teaching of Paul, had the teaching of Timothy, had the teaching of Apollos, and had the teaching of John the Apostle. It was an extremely well-taught church. It was an extremely influential church. It was a very successful church, so much to the point where it is even recorded in church history that Mary, the mother of Jesus, moved there after the death of Jesus. After, obviously, in his resurrection. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Mary still had several years to live out. And remember in the Bible that Jesus gave the responsibility to take care of Mary to John the Apostle. Remember that? And so Mary was with John, and it is recorded in history that that church was so influential that even Mary, the mother of Jesus, had gone there to live out the remaining of her days. There's even a house that they have there in Ephesus that's still there today that they believe is where she lived. Now, that is more of the opinion of the Catholic Church. History, we don't know for sure if that's where she lived or not, but history does point to the evidence that she lived there. It was a very prominent church. It was a well-taught church. It was a successful church, and they labored for the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Notice all the things that they were doing right. Look, go back there to verse 2. I love the first things that Jesus says to them. He says, I know.
Yeah, that's good.
He says, I know. He says, I know what you are doing. I know your works. Can we bring this up in the Amplified? Praise the Lord. He says, I know your industry and activities, your laborious toil and trouble. That means they were willing to give any effort.
Okay.
This was an effort-giving church, right? He says, I know your patient endurance. They endured trials. He said, I know how you cannot tolerate wicked men and have tested and critically appraised those who call themselves apostles, special messengers of Christ, and yet are not, and have found them to be imposters and liars. So this church was a safe church. It called out wrong doctrine. It kept people from false teachers. Very prominent, very successful, strong doctrinally, right? Yeah, go to verse 3 in the Amplified. He says, I know you are enduring patiently. You're bearing up for my namesake. You have not fainted or become exhausted or grown weary. These people were industrious. They were hardworking. They were faithful for the ministry.
Right.
But then something goes south here. Let's go to verse 4. Here's the things that they did wrong. Jesus says, but I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left and abandoned the love that you had at first. You deserted me, your first love. Oh my goodness. Folks, when I say this, I don't say this in pride. I say it soberly. This church and the family churches have been, you know, all to the glory of God, have been successful. These churches, not just this one, but in terms of building, in terms of buildings and properties and church growth and all these things, we've seen a lot of success. and we've seen where these churches, and I will speak specifically to this church and about this church and you people are willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. I mean, we are willing to start new church locations. We're willing to build buildings if we need to be, buy buildings if we need to volunteer. I tell you what, you know, so many of you, our Wednesday night service is growing. Most of our church is coming out to our midweeks. You know, this past year when Pastor Nancy Dufresne was here for our extended meetings there, we had the largest attendance we've ever had. People are going to special meetings. We're doing all these things. We have an excellent ministry of helps here. Amen. People are serving. People are cleaning. People are working with the kids. They're ushering. They're in the audio video. They're in the parking lot. They're, you know, they're doing all these things in this church. We are a very industrious, hardworking, laboring, enduring church.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. But every successful church, if we're not careful, becomes caught up in the ministry and the labor and forgets the key ingredient that brought that success in the,
yes,
in the first place. Notice that you can be outwardly successful, but inwardly perishing.
Yeah. Good word. You're right.
Notice that.
Oh, yes.
They were outwardly successful. They were the most influential church in that day. And they'd been so caught up into the, you know, in what they were doing and all their activities that the next thing you know, they had no time to fellowship with the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Pastor, I thought I was coming to hear a New Year's message and we would all just go out tapping our heels and jumping in the air. Well, let's take a sober look at where we are. Oh, praise the Lord. Here's the things they were doing right. They were laboring, they were patient, they were enduring, and they were strong in doctrine. They kept the people safe.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I believe that those things all describe this church.
Yeah. Amen.
They describe this church. Amen. Now let's go into the things that they were doing wrong. They lost their first love. They stopped doing the first works. I believe if we're not careful, that could become this church too. Come on, we all can look back at a time when we first gave our lives to Jesus. Those of you that have seen just a dramatic change in your life and what God has done for you, and all of a sudden you look back into those days and you can see a time where you prayed more, you gave more, you served more. You know, there was that initial excitement and you were doing all these things and you weren't doing it to be seen. You weren't doing it to get a ministry position. You are doing it simply because you just love Jesus. Praise the Lord. You weren't doing it because of money. You know, you were excited to hear about tithing. You were shouting more during the praise and worship. You were desiring to be as close to the word as possible. Oh, when the Spirit of God was moving, you were the first to jump up and run out of your chair. Come on now. If we're not careful, all of the administrative, all the activities and the labor that comes with ministry, you know, and you get to a certain place of success or whatever, you want to coast.
Right.
Meaning not you, I'm saying pervert, you know, all of us. If we're not careful, you get to a place, you know, where all of a sudden you start to coast and all of a sudden you find yourself, you're not reading your Bible anymore. It just doesn't interest you anymore. You know, all of a sudden you're not lifting your hands in praise and worship anymore. All of a sudden, you're not spending time just to fellowship with the Lord anymore. Because everything in life just kind of got going, and there's the work, the job, the family, there's church, and we're doing all those things excellently, but we forgot what it was that changed our life in the first place, and that is just spending time in the presence of God, just worshiping Him, not prescribing some time limit on it, not trying to, you know, work some recipe of faith, but just out of sincerity, spending time with God, not because it's time, but because it's Him. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Notice this, responsibility does not equal relationship. You can be a very responsible individual and still have no relationship with Jesus. You can show up to church on time. You can serve in every appointed department. You can show up whether on worship team or in the parking lot or in the youth groups or whatever. You're there week in, week out. And of course, that's appreciated. And notice Jesus said, I know that.
Right, right.
And He commended him for it.
Sure.
He said, you're doing all things right, except you're not fellowshipping with me.
Right.
Listen, relation or responsibility does not equal relationship.
You're right.
Boy, it sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church. Listen, I will be the first to tell on myself. It's very easy. It can happen so quick. You know, all this stuff going on, and you start to think that success is found in what you have done for God. Jesus had a different definition of success. They thought they were successful for their labor. Jesus said, no, that didn't make you. That is not success. Success is how you spend time with me. Oh, praise the Lord. Your new church building isn't your trophy. Your trophy is your time with God.
There you go. Yes, good word.
You know, that fancy building in Erie, the fancy building in Jamestown isn't the trophy. It's that we want to make sure that this church is successful on Jesus' definition,
yeah.
That we are successful at the grassroots level, that our influence doesn't come from our buildings or where those buildings are at. That our success comes because we have a praying congregation.
Yeah.
We have a sincere congregation.
That's right.
Those are the things that have made this church and the family churches successful, is true spirituality.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Listen, many of you know this to be true. You know, we have joked about it. Listen, if you're visiting this church and you look at this church and you think, well, they got a nice building, and you know, a lot of people are dressed up, and you know, and they, you know, we believe in excellence. I believe in giving God his best. But if you come into this church and just think that all of us were born having it all figured out, you are so sorely mistaken. Because maybe you aren't aware, if you look and I start telling you all the stories of the drug doers, the drug dealers, the sexual promiscuous, the addicts, the lives, the broken lives, the broken marriages, all the trouble and things that used to be in the lives of the people here. But the Word of God rebuilt their life and restored their life, and they came in and they just got sincere and hungry, and they just fellowshiped with God, and their lives changed.
Right.
Listen, this building is not our success.
Right.
It just is a tool that was necessary. That building in Erie, of course, yes, we thank God for it. Okay, but that building is not the success.
Right.
I'm not after the building. It is just a tool, a meeting place where souls are going to walk in. It is a restoration house.
Yeah. That's good.
Praise the Lord.
Restoration.
You know, where people are going to get saved.
Yeah.
They're going to be taught to pray. They're going to come into the most valuable thing on earth to Jesus is you spending time with him.
Yeah.
You and him together.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Responsibility does not equal relationship. Jesus has a different definition of success. The first thing he said, yeah, you've been successful. You've done this right. You've worked hard. You've done everything. But you left and abandoned what is the most important thing in this whole walk with Jesus, is fellowship with him. You cannot lean and rely upon outward success and think that you're going to stand in front of the Lord someday and he's going to pat you on the back just because of the buildings you have or the money you gave or what you did serving. That all is going to be rewarded. However, I don't want to hear he's going to say, yeah, you did all that, but you never fellowship with me. You did all this, and yet you hardly ever came to me. We didn't talk. You missed out on the true riches that were available to you because you thought that the labor was your success. Listen, notice this. Ministry is not a first work. Let me say that again. Ministry or serving is not a first work. Because they were in ministry. They were working hard for the church. But Jesus said, you left and you need to do the first works. Oh, praise the Lord. Notice that serving in a local church is not a first work. Jesus has a different order of priority. Listen, you can serve in the church and fail to spend time with Jesus and still be a failure.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Serving is not a first work. Ministry is not a first work. You can be faithful but still lose your first love.
Sure. Ooh, that's huge.
Notice that faithfulness does not necessarily equal fruitfulness, because they had outward, but Jesus said, you're not being fruitful inwardly. Boy, it's sure getting quiet in here. Hallelujah. Hey, if we need to take a licking today, if we need our spanking, praise the Lord. Because I would have loved just to, you know, I'd love to go before God and say, Father, where are we at, you know, as a church family? Which one of these churches most closely represents our church? And I mean overwhelmingly. Ephesus. You're Ephesus. Because I see as this church grows, as we expand and do all these projects, and it has such an outward form of success, that any church that has ever been successful runs into this point where they get tempted to lean on that side of the success, and they abandon what truly made them successful to begin with. This church has been a sincere church, a praying church, and all of this stuff, if we're not careful, you know, could jeopardize that. We could move away from it. Oh, come on, let's look at the results of it. Yep, labor cannot replace fellowship. Yeah,
that's right.
You can succeed outwardly and perish inwardly.
Right.
Serving does not replace time with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Notice the warning. Keep going there. Now look at this. Go down to verse 5. He says this, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. I'm in the King James again. Actually, bring it up in the Amplified, could you please? Let's look at it in the Amplified. It says, remember then from what heights you have fallen. That's a very interesting statement. It's usually interpreted like this. Remember what your life was before Jesus. And that certainly does apply. What happens to a lot of believers, they forget what God has done for them. They forget. Even if you're going through a massive trial in your life right now, you are still not to forget of all that God has done for you. Yep. But that's one way to interpret that, which is actually true. But there's another way. He says, remember then from what heights you have fallen. Now, he's talking to a church. He's talking to those who are already believers. And Jesus is giving us this idea that their church had been in decline for a while, and they're all looking around trying to figure out why. He says, remember, you got to this height, this pinnacle of influence and this growth and this success, and now you've seen it starting to fall and diminish, and they're all sitting around wondering, well, why?
Okay. Yeah.
Why? He says, remember the heights that you were once at.
Right.
Remember, you know, how you have fallen, you have stepped down. Start looking at the reason and the causes why.
Yes.
Look at the rest of the verse. Jesus explains. He says, repent and change the inner man to meet God's will.
Yes, that's right.
Repent. How we fail to realize that it is sin to not fellowship with Jesus. Come on now. Now, of course, there's those of you in here that are just knocking the ball out of the park, and you know, and praise the Lord for you. You know, we certainly are grateful for that. But I mean, I just don't believe that there's not a soul in Christ's kingdom that this couldn't apply to.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I just don't believe that there's a person that. It's especially when you're serving and you got all this stuff going on in your life, it can be very easy to let this slip. He says, remember then from what heights you have fallen, repent and change the inner man to meet God's will. There's the goal. Change the inner man. You have the outward man is looking great. You're doing this. You're getting notoriety. He said, but your inner man is suffering. Notice this, ministry in and of itself, the works of the ministry do not feed the inner man. Come on.
That's right. Sure.
You know, maybe you've given large sums or you know, you've done this and you've been generous or you've worked hard and you show up week in, week out for whatever. But notice those things in and of themselves, they do not restore the inner man. They should come from the inner man. I don't give to restore the inner man. I give because the inner man wants to be generous. Amen. I don't serve to restore the inward man.
Right.
Amen. I serve because the inward man wants to be like Jesus.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. He says, repent.
Yes, repent.
Repent. Yes. I know it's a very unpopular word today. But when's the last time you soberly judged your life and your fellowship with Christ and realized that you have not kept him first? Have you repented for it?
Right. Good, Pastor. Come on.
Have we repented for it?
Right.
It's very easy. Come on now. He says, repent. Change the inward man. What does that mean? He says, start feeding your inward man again. Because that's what you did when you first got saved. That's what you did when you were excited about Jesus. There was a hunger, and you used to read your Bible, not because you had to.
Right, there it is.
Not because it was a recipe.
Yeah.
Not because it was a duty. But you read your Bible because it was a privilege.
That's right.
And you were hungry, and you wanted to feed your spirit.
Good.
Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
He said, change the inward man. Start feeding your inward man again.
Oh, yes.
Like the time you did when you were excited about Jesus. He said, and do the works you did previously when you first knew the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. See, this is what it means when Jesus said, be like the greatest will be like this child.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. Like the child. Sincere, sweet, not doing it to be noticed or to have some kind of outward reward,
right. But
just out of an excitement and a gladness.
Yes.
You know, when you see, those of you that are parents, when you see the excitement of your children when they see you, there's nothing that warms your heart more than that. Glory to God. Just this morning, I wake up, my boys, I hear footsteps, Daddy, one's on one leg, the other's on the other leg. Praise the Lord. They didn't do that because I trained them to do that. They don't do that because I haven't done this today. Now there's times when they do kind of ignore me and I do force them.
Yeah.
But where's my hugs? But that's what a father wants. Listen, a father does not want the child to think it a responsibility to spend time.
Good.
Well, I have to spend time with Dad today. Dad doesn't like that.
No.
Spouses, do you like that when your spouse is like that? Oh, you don't want your spouse to feel like, well, I'll survive this time with you.
No, not at all.
Better check it off my to-do list. Come on. Praise the Lord. Do you know how, if I could say it this way, and I have to be careful because I'm not talking about emotion in the human sense, but do you know God is very sentimental that way? You can see. He says, look at all the success you've had. He's like, but you left it. You left what was the most important thing to God. You were doing what was important to you, but you're not doing what's most important to me.
Right.
The Lord's saying, where's this time? Where's this time together? Where's this fellowship?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where are we hanging out together, basically?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But notice he says, repent, do the first works, or else, now here's the result. He said, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that a heavy statement?
Yes.
That's what Jesus said to this church. And that's what the Spirit of God is saying to this church. He says, or else I will visit you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you change your mind and repent. What is a lampstand or the candlestick? It represents influence. Where does true influence come from? Who are going to be the Christians that change the world the most? Those that just have the biggest buildings? Those that have the most church locations? No, those who have a sincere relationship, who spend time in the Spirit, spend time in fellowshipping with God, who spend time in the presence of God, they will win the most souls.
Yes.
They will have the greatest impact.
Amen. That's right.
True influence for the kingdom of God does not come from these buildings or these locations. This church isn't going to continue to grow. Our influence will not continue to grow if we abandon what made us respected in the first place.
That's right.
Was the sincerity.
Amen.
in a church that's praying and fellowshipping. And when they come into our service, they, you know, just there's celebration and there's worship. Oh, come on now. Yep. Some of us, the only time we see the inside of our Bible is on Sunday morning. Some of us don't even bring our Bible on Sunday morning. Oh, but Pastor, you put it up, you know, over the screen. That does not replace the fact that we need to be bringing our Bibles. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. He said, if you do not, if you are void of true fellowship, your influence, your success, your visibility will be removed. Wow. Isn't that interesting? See, I think sometimes we take it for granted of what's going on here when we meet together. We take it for granted. Do we understand? Let me show you. Go back up there to verse 1. We don't want to lose our lampstand. Let me say it again. We don't want to lose our lampstand. Not as a church, not individually. You don't want to lose influence. It's the number one way God will ever honor your life. Influence. I don't know about you, but I want it.
Yes.
I want to influence people.
Yes.
I mean, for the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Amen. I want them, when they're around me, I want them to want to go higher.
Yes.
I want them, when they're around me, to say, man, I want to serve God more.
Yes.
I want to get God's plan for my life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to know God more by just being around Him. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you. I want souls. I want to get to heaven, and I want to see the people that ended up there because of my faithfulness. You understand that? Don't misunderstand that statement. I am not saying that I'm going to be, you know what I mean? But just when we are faithful, we serve and we tell people about Jesus and their lives are impacted because of our faithfulness. Amen. I want to see those souls. Praise God. You know, it's not going to be the greatest thing to go to heaven by yourself. You don't want to go there without fruit. Say, well, I'm just in it to get to heaven. Well, you're in it for yourself then. Because as soon as you get saved and as soon as you grow beyond the toddler point of Christianity, there should be a changeover in your heart where you're no longer the demand, you're now a supply. And praise the Lord. I know that this is not a clever message here today. I'm not trying to make it clever. It's not full of, oh my goodness, I could have never thought of that myself. It's not about that. It's about getting real.
Amen.
Amen. It's about starting out this year right.
Yes.
You know, because all that God's doing for us and all the faithfulness that this church is putting forward, all the labor, all the success that we're seeing come around us, it's all going to be for nothing. It's not going to be success at all. If it's not done out of true fellowship. Because you know why? If we have success and we don't have fellowship, then that means we did it on our own. That means we did it on our own. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do it on my own. Because Jesus said over there in John 15:5, He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And what we have today, especially in America, we have churches that are trying to have fruit without being attached to the vine. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. Right? Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. You can spend your whole life serving God and have it mean nothing if we don't fellowship with Him. Ooh, ouch. I tell you what, I sense the cringe in here. Praise the Lord. Woo! I tell you what, it's time to be serious. And I understand that there are a lot of families here with young children, and there's a lot going on, and there's a constant temptation to feel like you're not spending enough time with God. I know that. I understand it. But go ahead and just soberly go and evaluate your life. But are you watching TV? Are you watching YouTube? Are you, you know, and here's the thing I get convicted on. Are you watching the news all the time? I have a real temptation to be a news junkie, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, I find myself, you know, checking the news all the time, you know. Imagine if we just reprioritized our time. Believe me, it's not a matter of there's not enough time. It's because we're not using the time we have wisely. Jesus would not tell them to repent and get it right if it wasn't possible.
That's right. Amen.
Now you say, I'm going to put a law on myself that at 2 hours a day I got to pray, or an hour a day I pray, an hour a day I read my Bible. Don't put yourself under the burden of some kind of preconceived recipe of what is going to satisfy. And a lot of times, good people, capable people like yourselves, they will try to overcompensate for, you know, they'll try to make it all up in a day. You can't make it all up in a day. Just spend time with God from the standpoint of you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you put it on the do list, you won't like it.
Yeah.
If you go into it and you renew your mind and say, Father, I'm just going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
Praise God. And so many times I've learned this, that if I'm going to enjoy that time with God, it first starts out just praising Him.
Yeah.
Just, I dare you, spend the first 10 minutes. Spend a while just praising Him, making it about Him, and so you can get your mind off yourself. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm going to come and remove your influence, your candlestick. I had to go back up there to verse 1, though. We take it for granted of what's going on here. Look what Jesus said. He said, these things saith He that holds the 7 stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. You read that verse, and probably like I used to do, you read that and you might just shrug your shoulders and say, what does that have to do with anything? What does that mean? Well, go up to the verse above it, chapter 1 and verse 20, and the Bible tells us what the 7 stars are, and the Bible tells us what the 7 candlesticks are. Jesus speaking in verse 20, Jesus says, the mystery, or what you don't know, of the 7 stars which you saw in My right hand are the 7 golden. He said, the 7 stars which you saw in My right hand and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which you saw are the 7 churches. All right, let me explain this to you. The 7 stars there, he says, are the 7 angels of the churches in His right hand. Okay, but the word angel there is not talking about an angelic being. The word there, if you bring it up in the Amplified, actually, is the word messenger. Can you bring that up in the Amplified? Verse 20 says, and to the hidden meaning, the mystery of the 7 stars which you saw on My right hand and the 7 lampstands of gold, the 7 stars are the 7 angels or messengers of the churches. Okay? It's not talking about an angelic being. It's talking about the pastoral office that lead a church. Okay? Now, you know, you might be sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, Pastor Jim just called himself an angel. No, I did not. However, I am, just like any pastor of a church is a messenger.
That's right.
The pastoral office is a messenger to the churches.
Yes.
Okay?
That's right.
And so now you go back down there. Also in verse 20, he says, the 7 candlesticks which you saw are the 7 churches, which also represent any church.
Right.
And so when Jesus says, now go to chapter 2 and verse 1, when He says, I'm the one that has the 7 stars in My right hand, and I walk amongst the 7 golden candlesticks.
Right.
What Jesus is saying there, He said, I am the one that have the pastors in My hand. And I am the one that walks in the midst of the church.
Right.
Do you realize what's going on here today? We don't just come to church as some, you know, meager routine, and we come and we occupy a chair for an hour and a half, and then, you know, we call it done, and, you know, we go home and we did our attendance. No, God sees the local church a lot differently than we see the local church.
Right.
He sees it as His institution, as this program, if you will, where He has literally set His true pastors in the right hand of Jesus. And when we gather here together in His name, He is literally walking in our midst, inspecting His troops. He's there inspecting the will of God, the plan that is taking place right now. We don't just show up and hopefully find a better parking spot and, well, maybe we'll come if there's no snow today. Or maybe, you know, we'll just come in and, you know, we'll show up after the music and we'll just come in whenever we want. And, you know, we take it so casually. But in the spirit, which the Bible is a view, it's a portal into what God sees. He says, no, your church is a lampstand. He says, and your church has a messenger in it. And that messenger is held in my right hand. And I come in when you gather together, I walk your aisles. I inspect your church family. I inspect your individual lives. It's a heavy duty thing what takes place when you go to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he says down there in verse 5, repent or else your lampstand will be removed. The lampstand is what holds the candle high enough, because the higher that candle is held, the greater the light, the further the light will go. Listen, as our faithfulness and as we labor and as we see, as the light of God that comes out of this place goes higher and higher, listen, it's only going to remain if we, as individuals and as a church family, if we pursue what got us here in the first place, true fellowship with Jesus. And if we spend our whole lives and don't fellowship with God, our lives will be a waste. It doesn't matter how much you put in the offering. It doesn't matter what department you serve in. It doesn't matter what location you go to. You could show up and say, you know what, I'm going to pay off that entire Erie building out there. Well, praise the Lord. I hope you do. I hope you do. But if you think that that in any regard replaces fellowship with Jesus, we'd be sorely mistaken. Oh, praise the Lord. They will lose their lampstand. They'll lose their influence. I want to show you. Go to Acts chapter 4. Where does true influence come from? Is it because of your education? Is it because of the money you have? Is it because of the building you walked into today? Is it because of the building that we just purchased in Erie? Is it because of you serving week in, week out? I mean, that's a blessing, and Jesus commends and rewards that. But where is true influence, which is basically people taking notice, where is it going to come from? Notice the people that changed the world the most for God. You know, especially you can take the 11 apostles, plus Paul was added later on. And of course, there was the 12 after Matthias was added and so on. But you'll notice that none of them had educations. None of them had prominence. But they changed the world. Why? Because they fellowshiped with Jesus. Go over there to Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 13. Now you remember the Pharisees, they were extremely jealous and they were persecuting John and Peter. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now that wasn't an insult, that was true. Naturally speaking, they had no education, they had no prominence, they had nothing that made them somebodies in their community. But the Pharisees, you know, the educated ones, the people that were trying to halt the ministry of Jesus, it says they took notice. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. He said, John and Peter, where did they get this boldness? Why are the people flocking to them and listening to their word? Why is it? Because they don't have an education. Listen, what education you lack, God will so far surpass it with fellowship with Him. When the Spirit of God gets on you and the light of Jesus is on you, because you spend time in His presence, it's going to go further than your education or your lack of education. It's going to go beyond your pay grade. It's going to go beyond your experience. Your education, you know, praise the Lord, I believe in it. I'm grateful for education. But I tell you what, it does not make somebody in the eyes of God. It is not the investment of influence. It will never exceed what being in the presence of God will give you. Spending time just praising Him, worshiping Him. I tell you what, you spend time with God like that, scriptures are going to make sense to you that never made sense to you. There's going to be a grace on life. I'll tell you what, there's going to be a Teflon surface on you. Things that used to bother you aren't going to bother you anymore. You know, things are going to start working for you. What have Christians lost because they didn't fellowship with God? What have Christians lost? Well, this church was about to lose their lampstand. And so we have to ask ourselves, without fellowshipping with Jesus, what's at risk in our lives?
Yeah, there you go.
What can be lost because of a lack of fellowship? A lot can be lost. And these individuals, they looked at these men, they said they have no education that helps their situation. They're ignorant. They were the lowest caste of the system. They were fishermen, you know. They had no, you know, formal training or anything, and yet they were changing the world. And they said there's a reason why they have this great boldness is because they've been with Jesus.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, notice Jesus at this point in Acts chapter 4 has ascended into heaven. He's gone. He's gone. But they knew, they saw, listen, when you've spent time with Jesus, everyone's going to notice it.
Yeah.
And the people that need to notice it the most are going to notice it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good.
Your adversaries are going to notice.
Good, good.
The trials are going to notice.
Good.
The troubles are going to take notice.
Good,
amen. Praise the Lord. Go back to John chapter 3. I'm showing you this over and over in the Word. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to make 2016 about the building. I'm not going to make 2016 about the work that I've done for God. I'm not going to get on the roller coaster and just say, well, I've had this level. I've gotten to work and accomplished this. Now I can just take a break.
No.
Not going to do that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not going to let I'll tell you what, the holiday season is probably one of the most carnal seasons of the whole year. People get so tied down, bogged down with everything, this and that, and they have no time for God. Oh, that's why people come into during the holiday season, they come into church slow and sluggish. They eat more, you know. They've piled on some pounds. Mm-hmm. Go over to John chapter 3, and we'll end here. Maybe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, Pastor, I really wanted the New Year's. I wanted you to prophesy 2016. Well, I knew coming into this service I wasn't going to do that. I knew what this service was going to be. I wanted you to label this year. You know? And I'm not against those things.
Right.
You know? I just think that ministries better be careful about always having this demand to label what the next year is going to be. And I'm not going to fall into that demand. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I mean, I know godly men and women who the Spirit of God has used to prophesy, you know, things concerning the year and whatnot, and I'm all for that.
Sure.
But for this church and for this hour, here is your prophecy. Here it is. You know, and say, well, my goodness. You know, listen, when a man or woman of God is used by the Lord, they're truly called. And when they've heard from the Spirit of God to deliver what they know to deliver to the church, that is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes, it is.
And you don't want to diminish it. Because just because I'm not up here saying, yea, verily, thus saith the Lord. No, we've heard from heaven.
Yes.
This is a message. And it also, and I love when the Spirit of God, because God loves us so much to divinely warn us. Like, you know, because I am not going to see it. You're not going to see it. We are not going to let this church go down the road of so many that started sincere, started in the presence of God, truly just pursued the grassroots relationship with Jesus, then just to fall into the, well, oh, you know, we have this many people attending, or we've done this and we've done that. No, we are not going to go down that road.
Right.
Because on the end of that, you're wondering why you're seeing all these churches who were once on fire for God. All of a sudden, they have to get into all the gimmicks. You know why they got to do the gimmicks? Because they are not fellowshipping with God in the trenches, in their personal lives, where it matters most. That is why. If they have to start resulting to all these different programs to attract people in your church, God has a way of bringing influence and putting a church on a lampstand. It's because they fellowship with Him. Because they're truly in love with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. It happened if Jesus had to depend on this. I'm pretty sure we will too. Go over there to John 3, verse 26 and 27. Remember when Jesus started his ministry? John the Baptist was already baptizing hundreds of people in the Jordan River. Remember this?
Yes.
Remember? And then Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus had his disciples, and his disciples started to baptize folks. Remember? And it comes up to this point where John and his ministry are baptizing people, and they see Jesus in his ministry baptizing people. And more people started to go to Jesus than go to John. And John's disciples ask him, basically, why is this happening? Why is it that Jesus is having more influence now? And John gives the right answer. Now, of course, John's time was up. He was there to prepare the way of the Lord, and his ministry wasn't going to continue like this. Jesus was going to take the front seat. But in verse 26, it says, they came unto John, this is John the Baptist, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, that's Jesus, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. Why were people drawn to Jesus? And look at verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And what he's talking about is that Jesus' fellowship with the Father. Jesus received that influence from heaven as he spent time in the presence of God. Yeah. And I have had the Spirit of God tell me, like, quote this verse. You know, because I'll get hungry. God, I want to see more souls saved. I want to do this. I want to see this happen in Jamestown and Erie. And, Father. No man. God's warning me and telling me and telling all of us. No man can receive anything. He's talking specifically about this level of influence.
Yes.
You will not have it God's way unless you receive it from heaven.
Good word.
You don't want to build a church. You don't want to build a ministry. You don't want to build any kind of ministerial success on your own shoulders.
Right.
And in the same way, you don't want a business.
Right.
You don't want a marriage. You don't want a job, a new home.
Right.
You don't want to build your life on your shoulders.
No.
It'll crush you.
Yes.
It'll destroy you because you are not called to carry it.
Right.
Come on now. Everything in your life needs to flow from the grace of you spent getting into his presence and having that heavenly time with God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you'll up your fellowship with Jesus, you'll start to see things start to fit together that never fit together. Things that you needed to cut loose, break free, whatever it was. Amen. You'll start to see. Why? Because that grace will get on you.
Yes.
You know, running in life, living this life without fellowship with Jesus is like an engine without oil in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, praise the Lord. I like a big engine. Praise God, you know. And I got a pretty good size engine in my truck, and I use it. Praise God. And, it's fun to hit the accelerator when you need that power. I'm an outdoorsman. I take my truck across fields. I drive it in creek beds. You know, I use a truck for what a truck's for. I don't have a pretty truck. I want a tough truck. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But I'll tell you what, we take it for granted. That engine is smooth. It's running good because it has 5 or 6 quarts of oil in it.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden someone came along and all of a sudden all your oil was gone and you didn't know it, things that you used to enjoy and all of a sudden, hitting that passing lane on the throughway, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I like the left lane.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you hit the gas and all of a sudden things start grinding. Cylinders. All of a sudden you hear noises that you should not hear. If you've ever been in that situation, you know what I'm talking about. Temperature, all of a sudden it gets hot, it overheats, things melt, brakes, throw rods, you burn up your top end of your motor, or God forbid you crack the block on that thing. And all of a sudden, just because the oil's gone, everything comes to a seizing, grinding halt. It's the same thing when we don't fellowship with God. All of a sudden things are tougher.
Sure.
Things, there's not going to be that grace. There's not going to be, that smooth Sailing. You know what I'm talking about. It doesn't mean that you can't go through trials even when you are fellowshipping with God. You do. But they don't stick to you. Amen. Did you get any help here today? So what does it mean when Jesus says, I mean, it's real simple. I was really tempted to go into all these examples of what the first works are. And I thought, well, what are the first works? I'm going to study it out and all that stuff. Well, you know what? And it came to me and realized the first works are very simple. Is that you conduct yourself with God like you did when you first got saved.
Right. Sure.
It's real simple. You know what the first works are? Spending time with Him.
Amen.
Praying.
Yes. Amen.
Reading your Bible. And liking it. Remember when you first got saved and you were writing scriptures down and putting them on the windows in your mirror and stuff? Remember when you sat there and you had your index cards and you were memorizing scripture when you first got saved? When's the last time you did that? You say, well, why don't I do that anymore? I don't know. Ask yourself that. You know, not that you have to. That might not be everyone's mode. But remember the things that you did when you first got saved. Praise the Lord. I remember, things that I did, and of course, many of which I still do, and of course, times change or whatever, where, you don't have to do certain things, but you just remember the effort that you went through to spend time with God. Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Remember, when you first got saved, all of a sudden TV didn't matter as much? Oh, remember when you first got saved and you heard about, lifting hands and praising God? And you came into church excited. Glory to God. You say, well, I just don't have those feelings anymore. Well, that's why the Bible tells us to stir it up. Stir it up. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. If you will at least become willing, willingness will turn to desire. Stir yourself up. Be put in remembrance of where you were. And say, well, now I just feel guilty and I haven't been there. No, this message isn't to make anyone feel guilty. This is a message to soberly, judge ourselves as individuals and as a church and realize, hey, we're going to get down to what this is all about. It is about spending time with God. It is about hearing from heaven. It is about the spirit of seeing and knowing. It's about getting God's plan, walking in His will, delighting in doing the Word. Praise the Lord. Not just saying, well, I've served in the church for this long, therefore I'm good. Don't work that way. Well, I go to church every week and every Wednesday night. I'm good. No, you're trying to live your life with works, and you've abandoned that first love. And Jesus says, repent. He says, repent.
Yes.
Or suffer the consequences, and that's lose your influence. Lose your influence. And God forbid, if enough people within a church family lose their influence, what would happen to the ministry? Say, well, my goodness, Pastor, you're putting all the pressure on me. No, we're in this together. But we are here. The one who walks amongst the churches is here, right? The messenger that is in His right hand. This is not a joke, people. Amen. It's time to get serious about our priorities and what brought us here to begin with. Amen?
Amen.